The liturgy has shifted gears. We have crossed the threshold into the second part of Advent. If you're praying the novena, the Simbangabi novena, this is the second day. But if you're following the structure of the liturgy, this is the first day of this second part of Advent, December 17. And we start with the very beginning of the beginning, the very first words of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, the genealogy. There are different ways to approach the genealogy. I imagine one of the first ways people tend to approach it is, let's get this over with, it's just a bunch of names. Boring. I think that's the wrong approach, but that's understandable, because if I were to read you a bunch of names that are people you don't know, eventually you'll just get bored. We don't have phone books anymore, but remember the days of phone books, page after page after page of names and phone numbers. If you don't know who the people are, that's really boring. You don't read phone books. That's not what's happening here, though, and I think it's good to step aside from the idea that it's boring and start to reflect on the human family, what it means to be a member of the human family. Maybe it's good to start personally. What about you? Who's your father? Who's your father's father? What's his story? Where is he from? Or what about his father? Where's he from? What's his name? How many children did he have? And things like that. You start to think like that. You say, oh, I have a genealogy too. I like to think of this on this day, partly because today is the anniversary of my baptism. So it's a special day for me, my birthday as a Christian. So by baptism, sure, my parents were there. My godparents, I don't know if they were there, because sometimes parents are in proxy. But my godmother, the younger sister of my father, is one of the people I visited when I was in the States 2 months ago. I visited my tita, my nina. She's in advanced age now, some late 80s, advanced stage of dementia. She didn't know who I was. So I told her, I'm your favorite nephew. She liked that idea. And I said, I'm also a priest. And I want to offer you the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And she liked that too. She was very happy to meet her favorite nephew and to receive the sacraments. But she didn't know really what was happening. Not in her mind, but in her emotion, her sense of connection, yes. So of course I think of her. I think of my father's family. I think of their father, my grandfather. And then I never knew my great-grandfather, but I know stories that my father told about him. Called him the dude. He loved to dress up like he was well-dressed. My aunt, who is my godmother, calls him Dudu. So there's the dude. So I know something about him. I don't know anything about my great-grandfather's father. Maybe I could look up his name, but I don't know him at all. Now I have a cousin who likes genealogy, and she's traced back our family history back to many generations. And she has stories of our relatives. Some of them are interesting characters. Most of them are not. You know, they just were born in a certain place, got married on a certain date, had so many children, died on a certain date. That's all they know. But some of them, one of them, I think it's on my grandmother's father's side, he was successful in the minerals and mining business. He made big money. So he's an interesting character. He became a philanthropist. But there are others who are in jail, others who we don't know what happened to them. But what's key to a genealogy is that somebody was born, that they grew to the age where they could have a child, and they fathered a child on the men's side or on the women's side to have a child. Once one of the offspring doesn't have any children, well, that's the end of that line, right? End of the branch. And a lot of people don't have any children, and so they don't have any descendants. See this happening now, maybe even people here. A lot of people now are concerned that their children are not marrying, and so they don't have any grandchildren. Or their grandchildren are not marrying, so they don't have any great-grandchildren. People don't get married anymore, and they don't have children anymore, so that's a very big human problem, problem of the human family. Anyway, for a genealogy to exist at all, there has to be generation. And as soon as one person doesn't have a child, that's the end of the line. But if a person has a child, and that child has a child, and that child has a child, the human family keeps growing. That's how it is. That's how it is for all of us. We wouldn't be here if someone in our genealogy didn't have a child. We just wouldn't be here. That'd be the end of the line. So we're all the product of a very long line of generations, thanks be to God, that our great-great-great-great-grandparents had at least one child. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And that's the way it is. So to read about the genealogy of Jesus is to recognize that he's part of this system, part of this family. He's really part of the human family. He has a real human nature. I've seen recently ads for a new Superman movie. I don't know if it came out already or if it's going to come out. Have you seen of those ads? I guess nobody watches those things. I don't know either. Maybe it was months ago. But anyway, recently there was a new movie, Superman. If you know the story of Superman, which probably everybody knows, he came from another planet. He crashed into the earth, and some farm couple adopted him. Some small town, nobody, simple, childless couple adopted him. It took him in and said, okay, we'll claim him as our own. But he's not really a human person. He's not really a human being. He comes from another place. And so all his superpowers are from outside. And then he can use his superpowers to solve all the problems of this human family and all our mess that we make. And as the Superman myth developed over time, they had to keep coming up with wilder and wilder opponents, because Superman could easily handle ordinary human criminals. So he has to deal with all kinds of alien beings. That's exactly what Jesus is not. He's not a Superman from somewhere else. He's God. God who is outside of creation and outside of time, who has become man, really entered into time, really entered into the human family, has a real human mother and a real human stepfather. So that's what this genealogy is insisting. Why is that so important? Because if there's no connection to the human family, well then his redemptive work doesn't benefit us. Be like Superman, but yeah, he can do a lot of things, but he's not really one of us. Can't really change our human condition. He can't really unite us with his people, the Superman. But God, once he becomes man, really makes it possible to be free from sin and death, and really makes it possible to become children of God. So the genealogy, which, yes, it is a lot of names we don't know. Some of these names are not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. We have no idea who they are. But they're real human beings who really have children or a child. And God, from the beginning, knew that he was going to use this particular line as the means by which he would save the whole family. There's lots of details in the genealogy we could pick out. Names we know for sure: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, we know all of them, Solomon. We know some of these women who are mentioned and their unusual circumstances. But there are also so many just ordinary fellows who had a son. That's it. Well, Jesus enters into ordinary life. Now, I don't know if you can call Joseph ordinary, because he was an extraordinary person, but he was a human being, and he's the husband of Mary, and Mary's really the mother of Jesus Christ. This is the fulfillment of a long, long process of God working with the human family. 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. scripture scholars say that's a symbol of the name David, so that son of David, the Messiah has to be a son of David. But to look at the big picture is to see how concerned God is with the human family in all its ordinariness, with every new generation, with every child, with every person, every person. So it's a great way to start this second part of Advent, because it roots us in the reality. We're not talking about some mythical figure. We're not talking about a superhero comic book figure. We're not talking about an alien. We're talking about God who became man. Emmanuel, God with us. That's why we're so excited about the arrival of Christmas, because God comes to be with us. That's why we look forward to Jesus coming again, because we want to be with him. The union between divinity and humanity has already been established by this Jesus Christ, the fruit of all these generations. So that's our joy, and it's also our anticipation for him to come.